Beautiful hymn. Please take your Bibles out and open up with me to the book of Acts once again as we continue this study with the 16th chapter. And we're going to begin reading with the 12th verse. We got down to the Lydia, the seller of purple, and we're going to enjoy that today. But we're going to start with the 12th verse. Acts chapter 16, verse 12. From thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of the purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which showed unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them unto the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. As we just have a joy and an opportunity to study and to come together, whether it's in the privacy of our own home, if it's in a Bible study that we enjoy, if it's the Sunday school class or the Sunday message or Sunday night, whenever we have the opportunity to open up your precious word, what a joy, Lord. What an exciting time it is to our hearts to be able to do that, to find the comfort and the joy that you have there for us to receive. Father, we know, and studied it in Sunday school this morning, that if we neglect the salvation, if we do not come by faith to you, if we do not accept that free gift of salvation that's offered to us up on the cross of Calvary, as you died there for us, if we do not accept that free gift, then salvation is not ours. We're in darkness. We may act religious. May we say the right words, but we're lost and dying in our sins. So please today, Lord, take these precious words and show the lost the way of salvation and bring the saved closer and closer to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Paul and Silas visited this country of Macedonia and on to the city of Philippi, and he was so led by a vision, and that vision directed him to come, as we're in the opportunity or the time of a transitional period here between the fulfillment of the scriptures and the Old Testament times. And as this took place, and as Paul here listened and followed the vision. It wasn't where he intended to go, but it's where he felt led to go. And we need to follow the same visions today, but not in the means of a dream that we have or something of that sort. The vision that we have comes through the Word of God and through His power and strength, and we need to have a vision, but not as many even today speak of, I had this dream, God showed me this through a vision. That does not exist today. If it is, it is not of God. We need to realize that God, through His precious Word, speaks to us, gives us a vision, and we need a vision to walk each day, to share the gospel, to help people to grow, to know what the Lord wants us to do. And that's the vision that each one of us would have. And without that, of course, we perish. But we need to understand that when somebody comes up to you and said, I saw this in a dream, and I know that this is what God's going to do, be careful with those people and pray for them that they will see the true light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul gave a message to these folks. He came down to the riverside, as the scripture says in verse 13. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And so this message that was spoken there, we are not told of that message, but we know that every message that Paul preaches is of the Lord Jesus, Him crucified and risen from the dead. And so we know what was told of that message, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We read last time from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, concerning the stand that Paul has of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. And there was one single woman here that has been singled out, and her household, we find, was saved. So was her household there with her? We are not told, but we do know that this certain woman named Lydia, seller of the purple of the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, heard us. And those words there are wonderful. And I hope today that you hear the Word of God, because that's what Paul was proclaiming. He was proclaiming the Word of God and desired that the Spirit of God would speak to the hearts of the folks that were there on this river side, on the shore of this river, as that was the meeting place. We talked about that last week, that's probably where their church was. And again, Lydia was a proselyte. She had been converted to Judaism. And so she was out there. They did not have a place to worship. We know that Paul, each time that he would go into a city, why, if there was an organized place of worship, a building, why, then he would attend that. In this case, he came out to the to this riverside, as it tells us, outside the city, and found them out there in a place of prayer and worship. It appears that it was only women that were present, but the important thing of all this, and that is that Paul listened to what the Lord told him to do. And by doing that, he finds this Lydia, a seller of the purple. Now, this purple was a very valuable color. She was a seller of purple garments that had been dyed. And in order to possess this, a person needed to be rich, because it was something that was very expensive, and only those of the rich would have the opportunity to have things that she would market. And usually those that have the opportunity to market such items as this also became fairly well-to-do, and I believe Lydia was one of those well-to-do people, because she is going to invite Paul and Silas into her house to spend some time of fellowship and some growth. And so she owned that and possessed that in Philippi. This city of Thyatira was the one place that I believe Paul would have liked to have went to. But he was not allowed. He was sent to Macedonia, to this place, and at this time. And that's the important thing, that we need to be in prayer, that we are in God's place in His time. Wherever we are to be, it's got to be under God's time and in God's place. And so we need to listen very carefully. This city of Thyatira was a great city. It was had much business. It was known for this art of dyeing these materials. However, we know that Lydia had her residence here in Philippi because Paul and Silas joined her. So we have that she worshipped God, again a Jewish proselyte. But the important thing is that even though she was religious, she heard what Paul had to say. She heard what Paul had to say. And so are we listening this morning? Do we listen as the Word of God is proclaimed? Are we here to learn and to enjoy the Word of God, to come by faith to the Lord Jesus as Lydia did? Lydia was not saved. Lydia was lost. She was just religious. But the very thing I'm sure that Paul, even though we are not told, the very thing that Paul shared was the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Because you must be born again, and you must trust in that perfect sacrifice. And so, heard us, as the Scripture tells us there, I've got it underlined, which worshiped God, heard us. Heard Paul and Silas. Again, what did they hear? They heard the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. The next thing that's stated here is whose heart the Lord opened. And we need to understand that there is only one. We share the gospel with folks, and it seems as though that they don't react, they don't respond, they don't want to come to the Lord Jesus. They're, again, many cases, they're very, very religious. And they want and they desire to continue in their religion. They have no desire to come by faith to the Lord Jesus and take another look at the Word of God, at the truth. They want to stand upon the doctrine of their church, and that's where they stand, and that's where they stay. The problem is that even though we are sharing the Word of God, the Lord is the one that has to open up the heart so they can hear. So if they reject us, if they ignore us, don't take it personal. Just give the gospel as sweet as you can, with all the love that you can present, and pray that the Spirit of God will touch their heart and convict their heart and bring them to salvation. And so we need to realize that whose heart the Lord opened, and the only one that can open the heart of a lost person is the Lord Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God. So please, that you understand that only Jesus, He's the only one that changes life, lives from sin and from suffering, and brings them to a place of peace and joy. The only one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the word that Lydia responded to, the word that Paul proclaimed, the word that Paul opened the word and began to speak, and the Spirit of God went before her and opened that heart that she could see the Lord Jesus Christ. And so please, when you share the gospel with someone and your desire is all of your heart that they get saved, it is the strength and the power of God that does the changing. And so we need to bathe it in prayer. That's our power. That's our strength, that we go forth with prayer before we come to that circumstances or that situation that we have a wonderful opportunity of sharing the gospel. Do we wake up in the morning and say, Lord, please, that everyone I meet today, everyone I meet, I pray, and I don't even know who they are, but you do, prepare their hearts and open my mouth. And allow me to share the word of God. Paul went to this prayer meeting. It was on this riverside. And he began to speak, begin to share. And we praise the Lord that Lydia listened, heard them, heard us, and her heart was opened, whose heart the Lord opened. And we need to understand who does that. She attended to the things, and so there was an action that took place. Not only did she hear us, but the Lord opened her heart, and then there was an action, and that action was she attended to the things, unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And that, again, was the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So when you look at that 14th verse, it begins with, worshiped God. You'd think that that would be enough for anybody. Who needs to do more than that? The problem is that her worship was a worship of a religion and not of Jehovah God, because she did not know the Lord Jesus. As we talked this morning in the Sunday school, she did not have the light of the lampstand to see the Word of God, to understand it, even though she had chosen to become a Jewish proselyte. She had been one that had come across and was doing. She would if there would have been a synagogue, and she had probably attended the synagogues in other areas, because they would come together to read the Word of God and to fellowship over that Word. But the sad thing is that the worship that she had was a worship of dead works. And she heard Paul, and so the first thing is she worshipped God, a God she didn't know. Heard us, listened to the words. Her heart the Lord opened. That's the next step. And then in the third part, she attended unto the things which were spoken. So she applied those things to her heart. She applied them to her mind and to her heart. And so there was action that has taken place here. And we need to understand this action that was taken place, and immediately up on these words that were spoken, and as we look at that word, she listened, she responded, then she was baptized. She was baptized immediately. We've got many examples in the Word of God where immediately upon having this attendance to these things, in other words, she responded to the Word of God, and her actions had shown that. We have the same thing at Pentecost. There were multitudes that were baptized at Pentecost as Peter proclaimed the Word of God. You'll find that in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Next, you find the Ethiopian eunuch, as we have the opportunity of Paul proclaiming the Word of God, leading him, and he said, what hindereth me to be baptized? Because he told him, we need to give a testimony of what's happened in your heart. And so the eunuch says, what hinders me to be baptized? You know, and I'm sure there was water there is the reason that he was questioning that. Paul had explained that to him, and so he immediately was baptized, Acts 8, 37 through 38. Next, we have Peter once again with Cornelius. Cornelius was the same. And we find the household was also saved. That's in Acts chapter 10, 47 and 48. And he was immediately baptized. And then we have the Philippian jailer in Acts 16 that we're just getting to in this chapter and verses here. He also and his family was immediately baptized after he had proclaimed the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And so we not only have the worship of God that was just a religion, Then we have the hearing of the Word of God. We have the Lord opening up the heart, and we have her making a decision. And then immediately following that, we have the action of baptism. And so she proclaimed to all those around that she was saved and her household. And we have this many times. And again, just because Lydia was saved, it doesn't mean that her household would come along. Each one of them had to make the same personal decision that Lydia made. And so the testimony of Lydia in the upbringing of the Jewish religion, she opened her heart. She heard this. Was her household present at the meeting at the riverside? We don't know. Very possibly they heard at the same time. But wonderfully, all were saved when she was baptized and her household. And then we have the word besought. She besought us, Paul and Silas says. Now that word besought is to call near, to invite, to comfort. And so when we look at this word here, that and when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide." And so she's asking with the response that she gave, with the following immediately with baptism, she has testified that I am a child of God along with her household. Also now she is asking, do you see the Lord Jesus in me? To call near, to invite, to comfort. She besought us, if ye have judged me to be faithful. That was a question that was asked to Paul and Silas. Again, Paul and Silas, filled with the Spirit of God, controlled by the Spirit of God, knew that Lydia and her household had gotten saved, was born again. And so, do you count me faithful, a faithful believer? If you do, then come and abide. And so not only have we seen the response from the Word of God, attending to the things that were spoken, she also has followed in baptism, but now her experience as a child of God, knowing the Lord Jesus as her Savior, she wants to do something. And so she says, will you come? Can I care for your needs? Will you come and live in my house? Stay with me that I may furnish you with food and shelter. And see, that's what should take place in a believer's heart. Number one, we should want to testify to all around that we're a child of God. But as soon as that testimony is over, then that testimony should move into action. And that action should be that I want to do something for you, not to show other people, but as service, as a servant. I want you to come. And so come and abide, the scripture says. And then she even, it moves further than this, the word besought. It moves to the word constrain. And that word constrain is only found, the word constrain is found in many places in the scripture, but not this Greek word. This Greek word is only found two times, this word constrained, and I'm going to spell to you the definition of this Greek word, which is only found twice. It's PARABEEADZOMAHEE. Now, you pronounce that whenever you'd like, and I can give that to you later. But that is the Greek-English pronunciation of this word constrained. And the only other time that this word is found here with Lydia, and the second place is on the road to Emmaus with the Lord Jesus, when he was walking with the two and they were discussing what's just happened. The Lord Jesus has been crucified and he's been buried, and they were talking about it amongst themselves, and the Lord Jesus joined them, and until they came to their home, and all of a sudden they constrained Jesus that he would come in. And if you'll remember, when he broke the bread, that's when their eyes were opened, and all of a sudden, and I believe they saw that the nail-scarred hand when that was opened up, and they realized this is the Lord Jesus. But this word constrained, that's the only two times that it's used. And so here, she constrained Paul and Silas, wanting to serve, wanting to show this hospitality, the caring and the kindness. We know that this event, this time of out of all the folks that Paul has had the opportunity to bring the gospel to, and yet each time, even as one, you know, as you think of a monstrous service and a thousand people are in attendance and 100 people come forward, boy, that's something to rejoice. But Paul put this into his mind, this single time of Lydia first and her household as well to be saved was a very special thing to Paul. And if you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, we're going to look at the verse 3 through verse 5. Philippians chapter 1, and look at how Paul looks at this church at Philippi that was born right here, right at this time. He says, I thank my God unto every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I think there was a special place, and that first day, I believe, is the day we're talking about right here in Acts when Lydia was saved. That's where it all started, and Paul never forgot the day of Lydia and her household's salvation. What a joy. This was the church. This was the beginning of the church. The Bible study that we have, whether you have the opportunity to enjoy the studies here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday night, but also the studies, the Bible studies that you have at your home, in your home. It's always important that we bathe it with prayer and we ask the Lord Jesus that he would guide and lead us through this study. And the joy that we will have, the learning that we will have, the coming closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this small group that started here in Acts chapter 16. And I think as you follow after the Lord Jesus, as he went through his 3 years of ministry, there was a multitude that followed, but there was few believers. The birth of the church brought thousands of believers, but in relationship to the population of the world, it's still few. And it's still that way today. We need to understand that the world hates the Word of God. The world does not desire the truth, hates the truth. We had this last week, to show you the hatred of truth when it comes out. There was the witches got together and did their voodoo against our president because they want to stop that. If you don't think the old devil isn't stirred up, he's stirred up. And we find that not only that, but we go on into verse 16 here, that we have these demons, the spirit of divination, the soothsayers. They were in Paul's day, they're in our day. And we need to understand that they're going to raise up when the truth is beginning to be proclaimed, but especially when the truth of the gospel is spoken. We find that they will raise their ugly heads. So we need to realize the importance of the birth of this church in Philippi and what it meant to Paul and what it meant to that area and what it meant to that region. What does this church mean to this area and this region? No matter how small we may be or how large we may be, we must stay upon the truth, proclaim the Word of God, watch folks one by one be saved and be excited with that one individual's salvation as we are with our own salvation. Know that the truth is proclaimed, but do not be rejected or do not be upset ourselves when they reject it. They rejected the Lord Jesus. Understand they're going to reject us as well. But give out the Word of God. The birth of this church meant all the world to Paul. And as we come together, this body of believers that we have here, the Lord has brought together for us to grow and to go out and proclaim the Word of God. And so please listen to that call. Next week we're going to start with this damsel that was possessed with the spirit of divination. And it's so strange. And you may want to go ahead and read this, because look at the words that come out of this person's mouth. These men are the servants of the Most High God. How could she say such a thing, being controlled by devils? And we've got many scripture verses to back that that's not the first time that this has happened. And so please that you return next week. But realize the joy that comes when one person comes by faith to Jesus. That joy should be in our hearts. That joy should be in all that are around. So please don't be one, as Lydia was, worship God, but does not know the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Please come by faith to Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today, just come together and proclaim your precious word. I praise you for the folks that are here. Speak to all of our hearts. Show us your way. Show us the desire that you have for us to proclaim your word, and give that a yearning that we would go out and proclaim the gospel. But we don't just throw the words out, as you say, don't cast your pearls before the swine. We need to go and speak the words to those that you have touched our hearts and touched their hearts with. Open that up. And so please that you would open those avenues up, that we would have many people to speak to, and give us the strength to speak to them, Lord, and not speak with a smallness, but with an excitement, and not with a form of judgment, but with the words of love, that we desire that they be saved and born again and come out of that religious group that they're in. Speak to our hearts, Father, today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your hymn books out and turn with me to page 200, if my memory serves me right. Amazing Grace. Yes, page 200, Amazing Grace. Please stand with me.